Thank you so much, everyone, for being with us. A special segment right here at NAS TV. Very happy to have a special guest with us today, Mr. Mark Glenn, American political commentator. Thank you so much for being here.
It's my pleasure and honor.
Well, let's start off with your visit to Iran. How's it been so far?
Wonderful. It's been. It's obviously a different pace of life, but. You know, in America, I more and more every day feel like a freshwater fish in a saltwater aquarium where they keep adding the salt. And coming here to Iran, despite the fact that I don't speak the language literally, I do speak the language spiritually. You know, the civil society, the sane society, the safe society. And, you know, it's better than just a nice place to visit. I think that being here and seeing how well-ordered this society is, and yet people are still free, that this is one of the things that has the powers that be very nervous.
It's interesting, you talked about the freedom of the society here in Iran, and as you know, it's usually presented by saying anything but being a free society. Why do you think that we're seeing what we're seeing today? Iran is totally demonized in the West and in mainstream media more and more ever since 1979, the victory of the Islamic Revolution, until, as we speak today, 2015. We continue to see that.
Well, you just said it, 1979. That is the magic equation here, is that in 1979, Iran effectively achieved what no other country in the region was able to achieve, which was complete irrevocable independence from the United States and from the West. It's not one of these. It was not one of these Hollywood-type revolts that we saw take place in Egypt and other places, where they basically just moved one dictator out of the way in order to make room for a new one. So, I think that what, in essence, this is that the powers that be are terrified that the fruits of the 1979 revolution are going to spread throughout the region. And if I could use a metaphor that I actually used in a speech that I gave several years ago, when I had the honor of appearing at a dinner where then-President Ahmadinejad was present his last time in New York to speak at the UN General Assembly. And I said that the Iranian nuclear program has nothing to do with nuclear weapons, has nothing to do with uranium or plutonium. It has everything to do with Iran being the nucleus in the Middle East, and all of these countries that right now are orbiting the United States and the West, countries such as Egypt and Jordan and Saudi Arabia, them falling out of that orbit and falling within Iran's orbit, meaning that the fruits of the revolution would spread to these countries. They would kick the West out the way that Iran did. They would start acting as sovereign, independent nations. And then that's it for Israel, because she cannot exist in an environment of stability and order. She can only exist in a region where it's chaotic and unstable. And so Iran being able to bring these fruits to these other countries, this is what has got them more afraid than anything else. That in addition to the fact that, you know, Iran is a functioning a democracy, and, you know, Muslims are not supposed to be able to handle that. You know, that's only for fair-skinned, enlightened Western people. So the fact that Iran is able to do this, and 36 years now and counting, it's still a stable government, it's a stable society. We don't see the place burning to the ground like other countries around the region. And so the Iranian model has basically made a monkey out of the picture that America and Israel and the West would like to present of the Muslim world.
Mark, how did you get here? You were an American living in Idaho, no less, I believe.
Yes.
So what we're seeing more and more, a lot of people that, especially Americans, that are very, very unaware of the realities on the ground. What made you different?
Well, I brought a little prop here to help out with the program, but there's another one I should have brought, but I couldn't find it. I was in such a hurry to get out of the house and get to the airport that I couldn't bring it. And it was a book that, it was the first book, actually, that I had read as a child. And it was a book on the American Revolution. And when I read this, I had no idea that my country had, that this was how my country had been born, that we had been born, you know, we were hatched in the womb of revolution. And when I read about this, and I said, my goodness, this is my lineage as an American Revolution. You know, these ragged peasants who have nothing but pitchforks, and they have a belief, and they go up against the most powerful at that time empire in the world, and they win. Fell in love with revolution. And so that kind of set the tone for me as a person in terms of how I viewed the world, that there was good and there was evil, and you don't mix the two,
mm-hmm.
and that it is our duty to defeat the evil as much as we can. We can't just leave it in God's hands, as we always hear within a lot of what I consider to be the emasculated Christian world. You know, we have to be like Jesus Christ. We have to get out there and we have to do things. And so I come from a background that, you know, my mother is Lebanese, so I understand, you know, the Middle East a little better than most average Americans do in that regard. But it really was 9/11 and then the war that followed after that, that it was a traumatic thing for me. I'm blessed to be the father of 10 children. I have a Sicilian wife, so you can imagine mm-hmm. between my Lebanese chromosomes and her Sicilian chromosomes what our children look like. They look like the children of Gaza and Syria and mm-hmm. Libya and all of these, and Iraq. So when the war in Iraq began and I started seeing these pictures, particularly of the kids, you know, being blown to bits with bombs that I paid for as an American taxpayer. And I saw, you know, and this is a very, I suppose someone could say it's a very shallow thing to say, but when I saw the similarity in appearance between the way that these kids looked and the way that my kids looked, something just snapped in me. And I said, something has got to be done here. Mm-hmm. And I think at the time, what I came to understand was that this terrible thing that was happening to these people there, it wasn't going to stay there. It was going to travel like a wildfire, mm-hmm. and it was going to cover the entire earth if we didn't get the buckets out and start throwing water on it. So I began researching the whole business of the Middle East problem, and then in the midst of this, I was at the library one day because, as I told you on the way over here, we live an extremely rural existence with truck batteries powering lights wow. in the house mm-hmm. and chopping firewood and raising chickens and things like that. So I had to do all my internet work in town mm-hmm. at the library. And the library was getting rid of some old books that it didn't need anymore. And so they had a big stack of them out there. And as I was walking by, I saw this one. Now, you can't see it because it's so worn and weathered, you will have a difficult time making out the title, mm-hmm. but it's simply entitled Islam. And I said, well, you know, we are at war with 1.5 billion Muslims around the world, and I spent my whole life as a Christian. Maybe I ought to read up on Islam, since the TV here is telling me that Islam is A, B, and C. Maybe I need to read up on it myself. And mm-hmm. so I took the book home. It only cost me 50 cents, the best 50 cents that I've ever spent. I took it home and I started reading, and I came to the passage in the Quran dealing with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Jesus, and I started reading. Mary, God has chosen thee and purified thee. He has chosen thee above all women. Mary, God gives thee good tidings of a word from him whose name is Messiah. Jesus, son of Mary, high honored shall he be in this world and the next. I'm reading this and I'm saying, my goodness, this is... So I just kept reading and I kept... And as I would read a passage, I would come in and I'd say to my wife, I'd say, listen to this. And I would read these passages.
Mm-hmm.
And I was... I knew in that instant that a monumental lie had been sold to the people of the West. And
About Islam.
That it was nothing that it was presented to be. And I understood in an instant, because I live in America where Christianity is real Christianity, is mocked and ridiculed and made the butt of jokes and, you know, the topic of derision. And I understood in an instant that these are people that I can work with.
Mm-hmm.
And so not too long after that, I began writing. I didn't have any idea where it was going to go, but I said, I'm going to do something. So I started writing out as a Christian, speaking out as a Christian, in defense of Islam, and saying, trying to educate my fellow Christians mm-hmm. that you are being sold something here that it does not exist. Islam is not your enemy. The Muslims are not our enemy. We don't need to be at war with them. They, on the matters that are important, they agree with us. You know, all you conservative Christians out there who resent your faith being mocked, it isn't because of these people. These aren't the ones who are running Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And so from there, I ran into an individual who you know, Dr. Hisham Talawi, mm-hmm. yes. Palestinian Muslim. And we hatched this crazy idea that one Christian and one Muslim would work together to try to bring about this reconciliation between the Christian and Muslim worlds. And so we created this thing known as the Crescent and Cross Solidarity Movement.
Right. Okay, very good. Well, the Crescent and Cross Solidarity Movement, tell me exactly what are you guys doing?
Well, it's two guys, two guys of Middle Eastern descent. Mm-hmm. And we have done a lot of radio, a lot of TV, and, you know, basically, it's good, particularly for my country. I don't think that the problem exists as much in the Islamic world as it does within the Christian West. It's the Christian West, really, that has got the blinders on. Mm-hmm. I think that, for the most part, the Muslim world understands that there isn't this contention between the teachings of Jesus and the teachings of Muhammad. You know, they're not like this, they're like this.
Right.